This is so cool. I'm picturing you, but really I'm looking into like a lot of wires. I'm just picturing them, all the wires with blonde hair.
We are in episode 3 of Let's Give This a Try. I am Lauren O'Brien.
And I am Meryl Klimo.
And if it wasn't obvious from the beginning part, we are not in the same room.
No, we are very far. We're at least 2 hours apart. And I just wanted to give a shout out to my other podcast host, Bo, who helped us so much upon starting this podcast with you, Lauren. I told Bo, like, this is my own thing. I don't need you. Like, please, this is, let me live. I need to have other opportunities. And then, like, episode 2 came, and I'm like, I think I need you. Please help
me. Yes, and we're going to have Bo Hufford, and we're going to have him on to talk about the 3 most important things about starting or producing a podcast. But we'll have him on at another day, because he's helping us currently produce this episode 3. I guess I should just say that this isn't going to be like a 3-part takeaway. This is just going to be like, we're going to catch up because we didn't want to fall off. It's very easy. I had a bunch of people congratulate me for starting a podcast. Yes. And I was like, you know, anyone can have a podcast, right?
Right.
But everybody was saying, well, but you're doing it and you have to find time for it. And I was like, oh no, okay, I can't let this slip. I got
to
do it.
Right. We have to actually do it. I know it's very exciting to announce things, but then it's like, oh wait, but then it actually is sacrificing work
have to
do
keep
them.
Doing it. So.
And I feel like you and I would totally like have this big fanfare and release a podcast. And then both of us are like, oopsies, I forgot I just moved to like Toronto.
Maybe we could even do the top 3 things that maybe we're like looking forward to in 2020.
Oh, okay.
Or like personal
goals
and stuff like that.
Yeah, we can make it a three-parter somehow. Just we'll be each other's guests.
Okay, so I want to hear, I guess like start me from you were here in California.
Yeah, you
right,
and I
for
were
Christmas
were
break.
Kind of like switching places a lot. So when I would come down to San Diego, you were coming up here to see friends. I was going down there. So I came for Christmas Day. I just hung out with family, just my brother, sister, my sister's kids, my husband, my kid.
And a way that you and I are different is you have a very large family.
Yes.
Even though, you know, both on the East Coast and here, but wait, how many siblings do you have again?
There's 5
this,
of us total. So I guess I have 4 siblings. Yeah. And then my mom came from 9 kids. My dad came from 11. So I have like 45 cousins or something like that.
Oh, my gosh. And then I have just my parents at this point. And so it's just like the 3 of us all staring at each other, like wondering what we can fight about.
Yeah. And I am sad that we missed each other. But you guys had, so you had your parents visiting at the same time that your boyfriend's mom was out visiting.
Yes. Okay. So I love my boyfriend's mom. I really do. She's great and wonderful. And not even a but, just an and. She stays with us for, this is the first time she usually splits her time between my boyfriend and then my boyfriend's brother. So she does like 1 week with him, 1 week with them, because she's kind of like a wishbone where I don't know what she did, but like both boys are like obsessed with her and like want her to, like it's so funny. It's the opposite of a lot of, you know, parent-child relations where they want to push the other one away. It's like they both want her so badly to stay with them. So this time she was with us for 2 weeks, and she is like the best house guest ever. I mean, she really makes life nice and she's not annoying at all, but having just like someone else in the mix for 2 weeks definitely seems like you could just feel it, you know, especially when you're home. I think like our normal, if I was working those weeks, it wouldn't make a difference, but I think it just got to be a lot, not because of her, because she's wonderful, but just having someone kind of around a lot. And I knew going into this holiday, we have done the combined holiday vacation of my parents and Jack's parents, and then like I feel like we've traveled as like a party of 9 for the past 2 or 3 years, and I kind of had it in my mind this year that I'm like, I know it's not the nicest thing, but I'm going to be a little bit exclusive and say no to some things and just have time with my parents. And so that was also like, it was definitely a weird change because I felt a little bit bold and a little bit like not thoughtful, maybe, as there were some things that I kind of politely excluded us from and just said we're going to do on our own.
Boundaries.
So that caused a little bit. Yeah, boundaries. I did set up boundaries. Yeah. You're right. It's all about boundaries. And there was a lot of fights to begin with. I think it was the holiday season stress. And I think also Jack maybe stopped taking CBD oil, which we determined was not the so I think that may have been a little like change or something like that. I don't know what was happening, but he was definitely different than usual. And I think
he once we kind of noticed like what is different here, and the missing of CBD seemed to be maybe a piece of the puzzle. We'll see. So yeah, so the first week, like, it was fun, but it was also a little bit emotional and just not the best in the entire world. And then by the time my parents came on Christmas Eve, and it was just a little bit of a weird vibe where they were coming into already some like weird drama, and I hate being negative whatsoever, but I feel like this, I'm tired of like the San Diego traditions, and I think they know this too. And so I picked them up, and like as I drove them from the airport, I'm like, this will be the last year that we're doing this. And they had just landed like Aww. 10 minutes ago. And so I'm just like, say goodbye to San Diego,
because you're never going to see you again. Welcome, and you just got
exactly
here.
Exactly. So they arrived, and it was once they got there, I feel like the energy changed a little bit, and it ended up being a lovely time. Oh, and we all had the family kumbaya. But yeah, the first night, I took them to a comedy show, a local comedy show, and the comics were Yeah. It was really fun, but the comics were very vulgar, and like I brought my parents to it knowing that they could possibly like, A, I don't think my dad could even hear like a lot of what was happening, and B, like I thought they would kind of enjoy it, but then, and they definitely did, but the last comic was talking about like having sex with the Filipino twins, like Ling Ling and Ying Ying. And my dad was hysterically laughing, and like a lot of stuff about porn that my dad was like nodding his head too much. And my mom was like clapping about like, it's like the guy was even saying like, oh, I'm at the stage now where my relationship and I are still having sex like every night. And my parents were like high fiving. I'm like, oh my God, this is too much.
I remember your parents came to one of my shows, and I was like, I'm going to try and keep my jokes as clean as possible.
Really?
But then the four of us sat in a table, and I usually like to do this anyway. I like to sit in the back of the club and kind of watch the show, because I like to see what the audience is responding to, and I don't want to repeat stuff that other comics are doing. But I sat with them, and they were reacting really well to dirty jokes.
Aww,
so I was like, that's it.
So
I'm
funny.
Keeping the anal sex joke in.
Oh my gosh, that's probably like my parents' favorite to this day. That's really, really funny. And then the second night, that's right, I said goodbye to all of them, and I went on my own with some friends to Lips, which is a local drag cabaret show.
Yeah,
and we had so much fun, and I ended up drinking so much that I had to go to my car and throw up in a Lunchable and a Lunchable container. This sounds like so awful, but it's totally not I do this like once a year, and then I had to throw it out my window, and it like went all over the back of my Jeep, or like the windows. I know. And Jack was asking like, why, like what's on the windows? And I'm like, oh, like my ham and cheese Lunchable whiskey vomit.
Wait, the inside or the outside of the window?
The outside. Oh, but God. Like, you know how when something splatters, it like very noticeably splatters like only on the back of it. You could tell it was like going in the wind or whatever.
Oh,
so
yeah. I am currently participating 3 days into Dry January.
Wow.
I don't even really drink that much really anymore. I mean, I used to be pretty wild, but I don't really drink that much anymore. But when I did, like the two times in December that I went and hung out with people and got my merriment on, I got drunk quicker than I thought I would and threw up both times. So
yes. And so I felt so bad for you that we were supposed to record.
Yes.
And I felt really bad for you because I know there was one night that you mixed like beer and wine.
Yes, I mixed beer and wine and slept over a friend's house, but it was Matt, my husband, and my son. All three of us slept in a room together, and my son woke up and was like, I want to play with drugs, blah, blah, blah. And my head was like, boom, 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 boom. And I was like, I have to be completely vertical right now or I'm going to throw up. And sure enough, I did. And I was like, you're going to kill me, because you and I have been trying to do this for a couple different times. You're going to have your dad as a guest. And I was like, I don't think I can go the half hour, 45 minutes away that it was and then go back up, because I'm going to throw up in the car. And if I'm like having a conversation with you guys, I'd have to be like, excuse me, Dr. Climo, I'm going to throw up. So,
and my parents think so highly of you that I said you had like a really bad flu, which I guess they listen to this podcast now, so they'll know the truth. But yeah, they know. Now they know what I'm friends with.
It wasn't like I was out burning the midnight oil. It was, nope. I went out with three moms and another friend of mine that's not a mom but same age as us. And we had a nice, lovely dinner. and my body just cannot metabolize alcohol anymore.
Oh, but I know. I think that's the name of the game is the metabolizing. Yes. I think that's where I'm having issues too, because like the projectile Lunchable vomit night was the same thing where I had felt like I packed in a lot of whiskey and Coke and then tried to have like two slices of turkey and cheddar cheese and then it just was too much.
I can't mix anything anymore. And the other time was a Christmas party with a new group of parents that I just met a bunch of people, because when your kids go to school, you end up, that's how you make your friends. So I met a bunch of people. We got in with like the cool kids here in town, and I had 2.5 drinks, and that was all she wrote. I had to come in with my husband and say hi to the babysitter. Apparently, just looked at the babysitter and gave her a sheepish look, and then didn't say a word, went right back into the bathroom. And then I was hungover for like, I'm not exaggerating when I say 4 or 5 days.
Really?
I had two drinks. They were probably very strong because I don't drink liquor. And it was 2.5, and I didn't even make it through the third drink.
And days like that, doesn't it make you feel like any accomplishment has been taken away? Like, you feel like you're not doing anything in life. Or it just feels like everything has now gone wrong, and, like, any track that you were on of any accomplishments or whatever is just, like, not
right,
even.
Because alcohol's like,
what am I? Depressing. What is my career?
Yeah, and you're like, this is what you have to show for it. This is what you're doing with yourself. You loser. Yeah. So those were.
I really hardly ever feel like jealous or bad, but I feel like days that I'm hungover are the rare days that I really do go on Instagram, and I'm just like, they're like accomplishing things. Like, I don't know what it is with being. I think you're right. It's probably depressant, but I feel like that really does go along with like me feeling like these weird. I really don't feel that way like day to day, but I feel like the 2 days that I was hungover, the next days I was just like looking at everything on social media and be like, I want that, or like, why don't I have a private jet, or like, it's just stupid stuff that I never think about.
Well, the only if you're feeling like that, the only strength you can muster up is the strength to use your thumb to scroll like over and over again, so you're just like completely just ingesting everybody else's perfection and happiness.
I'm like, they don't make bad choices. So then what did you do on New Year's?
Oh my gosh, my New Year's Eve was one of the lamest to date, and you and I were sort of texting each other, and I had dinner. I got Thai food, and I ate dinner at 5 o'clock. We had a family that was here that was like visiting in town. They were coming and going, so they came over for like 2 hours. They were out of here by 8 o'clock. Kid was in bed. Matt and I just sat next to each other, but didn't really talk to each other. We were both,
oh my gosh, like, that's so
doing
funny,
separate things on the computer, and I was reading a book. And then at about 11:55, he's like, should put on like the countdown or something? I was like, nah, I'm good. And then at 12,
really? Yeah. No way.
And then at 12:01, it was like, oh yeah, it's New Year's.
For real? Yeah. You guys didn't even do the countdown or do the kiss or
we
anything
ended
like that?
Up doing a kiss and putting on a version of Auld Lang Syne that I like from the Sex and the City. And then I sat back down and finished reading.
That is so funny. And you were reading about stocks.
Yeah, I was reading
too,
about the stock market, because I was like, this is the year I'm gonna learn about the stock market and invest some money. But I was actually just impressed with myself that I stayed up till midnight, because my plan was to go to bed at 9. So, but meanwhile, you were like partying at a casino with friends.
Yes. Through Jack's work, which is like, it's so funny, just the insane like radio perks and just it, like, so basically he got paid to show up at a party.
Oh, wow.
And like post about it once, which is so ridiculous.
Oh,
like,
gosh,
just when you think about like you and I have both been on both spectrums where it's like you work so hard for very little money or no money at all or whatever, and then you can kind of like just post something or do really nothing and then you get paid like a weird amount. So it is, so we're having one of those nights where it worked out for everyone. And then we went to that, and there was a bunch of Instagram photo stations, and everyone was taking photos. The theme was like the Great Gatsby kind of 1920s thing. And so one of them, we were having a great time and everyone was dressed up and it was really fun. But one of the photo stations was like twinkly lights. And so it looked great in photos, but in reality, what it actually was
like curtains.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The hanging ones, which I can't believe how like different in reality they really are, like chicken wire basically with like lights on it, like not even like Christmas lights, but just actual like
just
barbed
wire
with lights on it. Yeah. And then when you post it, it looks like beautiful, beautiful lights. And so
So I was taking some photos there with Jack, and we were doing the little kissies and all that kind of stuff. And as I was walking out, my the wires got tangled around my neck, and I panicked, which made it go even tighter. So it was like a boa constrictor. And so I was wrapping myself around, being like, our friend Jason was there, and I was screaming, "Jason, Jason!" And he was like, they thought I was like pretending and like deliberately wrapping myself in them. And I'm like, yes, and it was cutting off my neck, and I'm like, I can't move now because this will literally like split my jugular open in front on the actual like Roaring Twenties floor. So I got unhooked, and I ran to the bathroom and started crying, and like I had mascara running down my neck. I know. So other than that, it was really fun. But the next day at the buffet, I couldn't eat that much because like my neck felt like I strangled myself. And so I know. So I really cut back at the buffet, which was very sad for me, but probably good for me. And, so yeah, that was how the other way I ring in New Year's Eve or New Year's Day was, as I was getting ready in the hotel, I had found out that I can't say exactly what it is, and I'll tell you guys like as we get a little bit closer, but there will be a change to my job. Yes. Basically, you know, I thought I've had a 1-year contract and that has changed, and I'll go into way further detail down the road. But I found out on the beginning of New Year's Eve, like how I ended 2019, was finding out that it was different than what I expected, and basically like we will be on the radio shorter than what I thought.
Yeah.
So, and then as I was getting ready, we had the news on in the hotel room because we were staying there, and the news did a story about like our radio station being sold and everything. So I was like doing the little blowhorn like, like Happy New Year's. But honestly, it's like a good thing, and I think, and this is where maybe we can go into like, you know, the three things we're looking forward to or whatever, but like one of my three things is that I feel like especially this year is forcing me or to like really state it what it is that you want. And like I feel like I've been bashful or just kind of weird and like going around things that it is that I really want. I know.
Yeah.
And so I feel like this is kind of the theme for me already, which is like I feel like the very last day of 2019 was kind of taking away something that ultimately I may have not wanted. And so it's like, okay, now we're like taking this away from you, and so it's up to you to really like move toward what it is that you know you want. And so there's not really, I feel like this is a year that there's not a lot of time for bullshit, you know,
right?
Or at least and so kind of that's I feel like going into this new year, it doesn't like serve me or work that much anymore to like skirt around the things that I really want in life.
Yeah, I love it. I have a similar one of my resolutions, I guess, is it's pretty broad. The most broad one is just to take up more space. And I mean, I'm already doing that. I'm physically taking up more space than I used to. But just I'm sort of like a passive. I'm a middle child, and I'm very much like, let's just keep the peace. Let's not make too many waves. I don't really ask for what I want a lot. So I'm going to take up more space. And even with my writing and performing, I just want to be bolder a little bit more and take more risks. And
I love that. I feel like you're like a quiet poisonous snake where like you're slithering, but then when you strike, you end up like having more talent and more everything than anyone. But it's like you're also not like brash in the way that I feel like you don't like announce things really unless you are either doing them or you're almost like humble to your like I don't know how to say it, but like you're kind of like humble, more humble than you should be almost.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I think I'm gonna ask for certain things, and I'm gonna go after what I want a little bit more.
Yeah.
and try and make stuff happen more for myself instead of like waiting for it to happen or just feeling like it would be rude if I asked for certain things. I'm gonna take up a little more space. So that's one of the things.
I love that.
Thank you. So I guess those would be one and one for us, maybe.
Yep, one and one. I like it.
And then what would be your second thing?
Okay, so my second thing would be and it doesn't even have to be, instead of saying like save money or budget, kind of like what that looks for to me or what that looks like to me would be like making more meals at home. And then not like, I think I have this bad habit of just spending money when I'm out because I like need a sweater and don't have a sweater.
Yeah.
So it's almost like I don't really buy extravagant purses, and I love spending money and I love going on trips, but almost like just being smarter about the way that I do waste my money. And I think that now more than ever, especially soon down the road, as I will be looking for a new job, is that what it will mean is that I can be intentional about like the job that I want. And I think I've felt that like kind of desperate panic before when I was freelancing, where it's like, okay, I'll just take anything, but now I don't have time. And then now I don't have whatever. And so I just want to kind of treat my money correctly so that I can be intentional about like what my next profession will be, because it's like I want to be the one choosing it and not just desperate because I didn't save my money. So that would be number two, is like doing, just being a tiny bit smarter. It doesn't have to be like a whole life overhaul, but just being a little bit better about not spending money when I don't, like if I already have something or don't need it.
Yeah. I feel like I'm just copying all of yours, but my
no, cause these are basic human things too.
No, I'm going to put my second one. I'm going to lump a couple things, but they're all, I think, personal habits that I'm intending to change. My big focus has been on sustainability this past 2019. So I'm always looking to implement like new things every year and not take on a bunch all at once, because then you get overwhelmed and it's too expensive and it's too hard. So the meal planning thing, just to create less waste. I mean, we learned this as kids growing up in the 90s, that whole like reduce, reuse, recycle. But the biggest thing is reducing. So it's like, instead of bringing more things in and being like, oh, good, this is recyclable, I can buy this. It's like, I'm just trying to reduce the overall number of things that I have and that I covet, and just trying to like use what I do have already. And then when I do get things, like just be a little bit more conscious when I do buy things, like, okay, well, how long am I going to keep this? Am I just buying this because it's making me feel good right now because I'm sad and I want to buy something?
And it does bring up a lot of emotions, because then it's almost like, what is this like 10th lipstick trying to make me feel like I'm doing in life? Or it's almost like that comes with the whole season of feeling emotions that may have been stuffed down before or anything like that. Because I definitely feel like, I purchase a lot to try to kind of like mask. I mean, some stuff is just like joyful to buy, but then other things are like, okay, why am I, like, what it, once again, it's like going to what you really want instead of like doing a million different things around
that. Yeah. I think I'm just trying to be mindful, because I think when you do mindless shopping, it's easy to be like, oh, yeah, I could use that, and just throw something in a basket. And then you're like, where did my money go last month? So I think it's all tied into that, because I'm trying to be better about budgeting, about not being wasteful, about planning ahead. And then I would throw reading, which is sort of the outlier, but the reading more is my other thing too, that I've been doing every night so far of 2020. I even started a night early. I started on New Year's Eve by reading. I'm just, even if it's like 5 minutes, just reading more, because so much of what I consume is audio, which I realize if I'm trying to get people to listen to a podcast, I shouldn't steer them away from audio, but it shouldn't take the place. It should just complement.
Right. And reading just gives you a break. And I love just the actual book. I feel like it's not the same for me if I do a Kindle or whatever like that. Yeah. I like the actual tangible book. And usually it's like once you get started, then that's all you want to do and you get hooked on it. But otherwise
I'm trying to get into that place I was as a kid, where like I would disappear in a book for hours. I didn't want anyone to talk to me, and my mom would be like, come down and eat dinner, and I was so into a book. But because also my sister-in-law showed me pictures from her wedding the other day, and she gave me a physical copy of one, and I took my two fingers and tried to zoom in on a physical picture, and I was like, I gotta get away from the screens. You need a break. Yeah.
I love that. That's a very, maybe we could do a, let's give this a try, like reading club or something
book
too.
Club.
We could, if we read one together, we can talk about it. And I like it a lot.
And then your third thing?
My third, this is a personal one, but I would say I'm going to try a new approach to how I communicate with my boyfriend, because I feel like we have a really good relationship over the past couple of months. It's just like, I feel like sometimes we press each other's buttons in a, I mean, everyone does with your significant other, but I feel like I can take some accountability of some of the not nice moments that we've had over the past couple of months. And I think like I want to try of my own accord, like going into it with myself, of being a little bit more mature and balanced and working on myself so that my relationship is better. Because I think like we really like I love him and we're great communicators. But the past 2 months or so, we've just had these really like fights where I'm just like, okay, both of us need like a nap or like a glass of water or something, because it's like I know we can do better than this. And so I can definitely see from my side of things where I can be better. So I think that's my That's my resolution. Even like we embarked on cleaning the kitchen together, and I could tell like where a normal fight would be yesterday, but instead I diffused it and just kind of acted a little bit more mature, and it ended up being lovely.
Yeah, which I think is like that'll improve the most important relationship to you, but it'll also improve any other relationships you have.
Exactly. Yeah. And it just comes down to, it's just, I mean, most guys, if they're nice or whatever, but it's like they just want to make their person happy. And I think sometimes I have some ways of kind of like swatting that out of his hand and life and stuff. Yeah. And so I think like the more when we are in a cycle of like, this is making me happy, and then he feels good and I feel good, and it's like we can definitely get in like a happy cycle. But then it's like sometimes I know how to kind of take it away. What's your number three?
My number three is something that's, I guess, more tangible, and it's like a goal that either will happen or not happen. So I love that I'm recording this right now, because I have been conceptualizing this, but I'm ready to finish writing and performing a one-person show.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's still very much, it's been spinning around in my head for months, if not years, but it's on the, okay, this is either gonna, I'm either gonna be able to cross it off the list that it happened or it didn't happen this year, but I'm hoping to put that up at least for a couple nights up here in LA, and if I like it, it would be something that I would try to perform in other places.
That's so awesome. I really believe that it's so important to have things that you do like with people. It doesn't even have to be creative. It could be work or, you know, like just general skills. Like, I love having stuff that you can do on your own and then having stuff with people. I think it's a good mix. I think you'll love, because you do so much with like sketch comedy. Yeah. And then this, and then I think having something that you're in just like only control of, like, well, yeah, stand-up was kind of like that, but still I think this will be like your own thing more than anything.
Yeah, I think it's gonna scratch that itch of, I miss stand-up a lot. It's just that I'm not gonna progress to any other level that I was already at if, yeah, I don't, yep, consistently do it. And I don't have the time and the childcare support to do it,
yes,
every single night. And I actually, if I'm being quite honest with myself, I just don't have the desire to get up every single night. And if that isn't driving you, then you shouldn't be doing
exactly, honestly. Yeah. That's sometimes I felt that way about like even just script writing and stuff, because I'm like, okay, I mean, like, I know people have to really motivate themselves to sit down and write. But if I'm like, it hasn't poured through me yet, then I'm just like, okay, then I just may not want it bad enough,
right,
or it
doesn't
speak to me. And yeah, I think that's so good. And that's I think that's perfect, because the one woman show is a mixture of like all your talents and writing and performing. So I think that's perfect.
Yeah, I'm going to bring some stuff, and I'm going to work with a director, because that is an area where I fall short. So, you know, when I say one person show, there is also going to be somebody else that's helping me, yeah, direct it, but I'll be writing it and performing it and probably hating it at some point.
That's so cool. I think this year, when I was kind of reflecting back on 2019, like the people that I saw that have done the best are the ones like you, and in terms of people realizing that, like, it's very rare for someone to like knock on your door and be like, you have talent, I want you to star, right, in this movie. It's like Amy Schumer, you know, you have to almost create these things from the ground up. Yeah. And it's exhausting, but it also is the way now that people have to do it with like podcasts and YouTube and all that kind of stuff, where it's all given us the tools, but then on the other end, it's exhausting because we all have to do it for the most part ourselves until we get that big break or whatever. But I think that's so cool, because it's like, you're not waiting for anything. You're going to do it.
Yeah. And I think that was my attitude for too long. But I feel like of anybody who has carved out their own opportunities the most in 2019, it's been you.
Aww.
I mean, a new radio job, a new podcast, because you already had, mm-hmm, Campfire Shit Show, a new podcast. You've taken on new writing jobs and, yeah, stand-up.
I know, and I haven't even told you yet, but I have a new show on February 13th at Flappers in Burbank. Maybe you should come out.
Oh, yeah. Yep. This is perfect.
This one it's very cool, because I was honestly having a hungover day looking at other people wondering why I haven't gotten any more stand-up shows. And then it was like the next day I went for a walk and kind of like got over my own bullshit. And then someone was like, would you like to perform at this comedy show? And so I think it's in the Yoohoo room, and I'll be on it like 9:30 p.m.
Is that what time the show starts?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. Because we want to be able to promote stuff.
Yeah. I know we have to plug. I know. And then
we've got 7 dedicated fans listening to this podcast,
all in like the greater New Jersey and Maryland, yes, area and Pennsylvania. And yeah, this doesn't count as this is obviously an episode, but in the future we will have lots of guests on, and we're working on a gazillion different people and things.
Yeah. We are investing in equipment. We have, mm-hmm, compiled a long list of guests. We're scheduling people. This was just like a okay, if we let too much time go by, we're going to have a lapse and then we're going to get rusty. And I guess I should probably promote stuff that I have by the time we release this one. Yep, I'll be in San Francisco for Sketchfest.
Oh my God, I'm going to miss you. This is my first year.
This will be the first year you're not going.
I know. I'm going to be so jealous of all the parties and everything. Is that open to the public if someone wants to?
It is, and they will all sell out.
Ooh.
We are at Piano Fight for all three of our shows, and which is in the Tenderloin District, and it will be January 16th, January 17th, January 18th. I believe all of the shows are at 8 p.m., but on the 16th, I will be with my sketch group. That's what she said. And on the 17th and 18th, I will be with my sketch team, Back Alley Racquet Club, BARC for short. And yeah, they always sell out there because it's freaking great. I'm really excited. It's really great. It's a really fun place to perform. The after parties, I might have to make an exception for Dry January for the after parties.
Yeah, what the heck? You can't do that dry. No way.
Which one year, the very first year I went to Sketchfest, I believe. Yeah, it was the first year I went to Sketchfest. I was doing stand-up that year. Meryl came and met me there, and we drank a lot. And then we hung out with our friend that had her roommates made homemade kombucha and homemade goat cheese.
Oh, my gosh.
And then we went and got sushi. And then we stopped on the way home and we went to a winery. And then that Monday, I found out I was pregnant.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Okay, we'll definitely have a bunch of episodes out before those days. But that's some good
dates coming up. Yeah, those are some things where you can see us and on social media. Meryl, what are all your handles?
They can go to at Meryl Klemow, K-L-E-M-O-W, and you can find me there.
And I'm at the Lauren O'Brien. O'Brien is E-N. And don't forget to subscribe.
Yes, people have been giving us reviews too, and it's very sweet.
It's so sweet.
I know.
The reviews, my uncle figured out how to get on there, and I was really proud of him because I was like, honestly, I'm not even sure how to do it. But I know people that are listening. You can actually like leave a physical review or you can just give the stars, right?
Yes, you could just, yeah. Even if you don't have time, just click 5 stars.
Yeah, or just give us 5 stars.
Yeah.
Just five.
Yeah, just five. Don't do it if you're going to do 4 or less. Just go do something else. So yeah, until next time, we really thank you guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye.